As a young fella, I used to really not appreciate New Year's and the whole New Year's resolution, the whole celebration thing. It's a big deal of things, but I think I've come to the point where I realise that sometimes life does get busy, and that the idea that you can make every new day a new day because it's a new day isn't really true, because in the busyness of life and the stress of life and the hustle and bustle of having kids and work and all that stuff, that sometimes it is hard to sit back and restock and rethink and take a deep breath and think about life. So as an older guy now, I was 40-year-old, I can say, look, yeah, New Year's is good. I've had a week off work and I've had a chance to see the life in a bigger picture and slow down a bit and realize that, you know, there are things in life that perhaps do need a change. And as I look back on the past year, I can say, man, it has been a pretty full-on year and a lot of stuff has happened. In my life, in my family's life, in the church's life, and the events of the world, a lot of stuff has happened. And some of that stuff has been good. Hopefully, as you guys look back on 2017, you can pull out a bit here and there. We can say, man, that was a really cool thing. I really enjoyed that. I really experienced growth there. I really made a new friend. I had a new opportunity to do something new in my life, and that was really awesome. And some of you are going to look back on 2017 and say, man, this was a really bad year. We were watching a bit of YouTube last night, and I don't know if you know the channel Brandsons. I don't know if you guys, it's come from Cinema Sins and Music Video Sins. No? Everyone's looking at me vaguely. There's a guy who points out all the bad things that happen, all the different things, and he was doing the worst thing of 2017, and he was pointing out all the terrible things that happened in 2017, and all the horrible people and all the terrible things that happened. He mentioned fidget spinners as one of the terrible things that happened in 2017. Debatable topic that, but there are this idea, as you look back in 2017, there will be times that you will think, man, that was great, and there are times where that was like not so great, and it was a little bit painful. Bear with me, I'm going to change the settings of my phone. There we go. So what do we do with all that? What do we do with all the success and failure of our last year? How do we position that as we look to the future? As we look back on our past, our successes and failures, how does that impact who we are in this coming year? Because if we hold on to those successes and failures too tightly, that will impact who we are. If we let go of them and abandon them completely, what worth is it to have had a past year? So as we look to the future, I want us to encourage us to look to the future through God's eyes and to move into the future with God's power. One verse that came to mind is, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. As we move into 2018, as we look into the new year, and hopefully with new focus, new purpose, and try to set some life goals or family goals or personal goals or spiritual goals, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. And when we talk about the weights that may slow us down in reflection to the last year, it's been pointed out to me before by John Kirkby, the guy who started CAP, he said that now, often the things that slow us down aren't just the bad things. Sometimes the good things can also slow us down. Our successes can sometimes be just as much a weight as our failures. So as we look to strip off these things from the past year and move into a fresh year, I encourage us to look at our successes and our failures and ask ourselves, what do I need to let go of if I'm going to make tomorrow and the next tomorrow and the next tomorrow the best it can possibly be? Because if we get too caught up in our successes and failures, they can actually become an issue for us. Tim Keller, who you may have heard of, a great preacher from New York, said, if our identity is in our work, our successes and our failures, rather than Christ, success will go to our heads and failures will go to our hearts. The successes that we have in life, the good things, will go to our heads and we'll start to think of ourselves as better than we are, perhaps, or start to have too lofty expectations for ourselves. But if we dwell on our failures, the things that haven't gone right, they'll go to our hearts and we'll start to feel bad about ourselves, start to feel overwhelmed and incapable of getting to where we want to go. So as we balance these ideas of success and failure, let's see what the future might hold for us. But first, let me just say, if you guys have had success in the past year, congratulations. For those who have got ahead in their career or are at school or in their personal goals of some description, well done. There's nothing wrong with being successful. God has placed us in a world and has encouraged us to use the very best of ourselves to get to where we to make the most of ourselves and our skills in the world. So congratulations on that. If you've worked hard and achieved something, that's really great. Earlier in the last 3 months, I preached a sermon about doing the mahi and getting the treats, do the work and getting the treats. So if you've worked hard this year and had success, well done. That is good. But the thing about success is that success doesn't guarantee success. And just because you've had some success in the last year, that doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to go on to bigger and bigger and stronger and better things. Life has a way of kicking you when you're at least expecting it. So be prepared that success is great in itself, but you can't come to determine success as a definition of if you've had a good life or a bad life. And not all success is beneficial. As Tim Keller warned, success can go to the head. Sometimes when you're getting ahead in the world, when you're making much in the worldly sense, sometimes it can lead you in situations and opportunities which are not ultimately beneficial for you. The way that the world defines success in terms of financial success or popularity or looking a certain way or having a certain thing isn't necessarily what God's definition of success is. So even as we think about success and what that looks like for our lives, we need to be careful to make sure that our success is God's success and not just what the world's success, because that can be detrimental. Sometimes success can lead us to wanting more success, and we can lose sight of what's really important as we chase the goals and dreams of this world. Success can change our expectations and our values. We think, oh, we need to reach this particular standard for us to be okay. We need to have this thing, or have this particular job, or look a certain way, or achieve a certain thing for us to be okay. And the bar keeps on moving. We keep on chasing this endless tale of success. I'm only good if I succeed. I can only get ahead if I get this thing. So it can change our expectations and our view of the world by chasing success. So success in itself, while can be a good thing, isn't what life is about. Our life isn't about success in the way that the world would define success. For the Christian, success is the obedience to the known will of God, whether that means going through trial or receiving a blessing. True success is doing what God wants for us, even though it is painful and it costs us. So as we think about our year of what success looks like, success would look like, what have we done that has been obedience to God's will? What has been success, even though it's been a hard and painful thing? Success is being in the midst of God's will and not chasing the things of the world. So as we look to 2018, look to the year ahead of us, to the future, can we define our success in the future by being in the will of God, even if that is a hard thing, or a struggling thing, or a painful thing, or a challenging thing? So that's success. And for those who have success, that's awesome. But some of us in 2017 will experience failure. And failure is hard. Maybe you've had personal failings in the last year. Maybe you have failed in some personal way to yourself. Maybe you've failed relationally, and you've had relationships that have gone sour or have been difficult or struggled. Maybe you've had professional failure. Maybe you haven't achieved your professional goals. Maybe you haven't received a promotion that you're hoping to get. Maybe you haven't moved into a job or career that you were hoping to move into. Maybe you haven't been recognized the way you feel like you should have been recognized because you have worked so hard this year. Maybe you've had emotional failure. Maybe you're struggling within yourself for the way you think and feel and interact with the world. And maybe there's a degree of physical failure in your life where your body's not working the way you'd like it to. Failure is hard. All these areas of failure are real. We live in a broken world afflicted by sin and suffering, and we experience that failure in every way and every day almost. And it's okay to say that those times were hard. Those times where you failed, they were hard. But even as we look to success as something that can't define us in this world, failure can't define us either. You are not determined by your failure. Who you are is not determined by your worst moment. And even I, as I was One of the new things we've done as a family to try to smooth our evening routines out is now we have a mat time in the evening where we sit down and people get to share about their day. And one of the things I said to my kids last night is that we as a family had a pretty tough day yesterday, and some of that was my fault. And I was happy to share with the kids last night that we are not defined by our worst moments, that we are not defined by the ugliness that we are our ugliest. We're not defined by the meanness of where we are when we're our meanest. That does not define us. That does not determine who we are. So our failures, whether they be relational, personal, physical, that does not define us. We're not determined by our failures. And the reason it doesn't determine us is because God doesn't see us and define us by our failures. When God looks at you as one of his children, as those who said, yes, I want to be one of God's family, when he sees you, he doesn't see all your faults and flaws and your failures. That's not how God sees you. When God looks at you, he sees you through the blood of Christ. He sees Christ's perfection in you. He sees the reflection of his created image within you. When he looks at you, you're not determined by your worst moments. You're determined by the fact that you're one of God's children made in his image and sanctified by the blood of Jesus, made perfect in the blood of Jesus. That is how God defines you. That is how God sees you, and that is how he determines you. So when you look back at the failures of your life, don't say, this has ruined me. Because that's not how God sees you. He doesn't see you as ruined. He sees you as one of his children stuck in a suffering world. A child he will deliver and rescue from that dark place in his own good time. But sometimes failure itself isn't even that bad. Often failure is an important part of life. I've heard and seen this quite a few times in the last little while. I saw it in The Last Jedi. I'm gonna do a spoiler alert here. Have you seen it yet? You seen it? Okay. Anyone else not seen it? Don't want to spoil it. You haven't seen it yet? Okay. Well, one of the characters in The Last Jedi, as they were talking about the Jedi Order, said this: the greatest teacher, failure is. Another thing is, one of the memes that I saw a lot this year was the idea that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And the idea is that if you don't try, if you're not trying to do things, you're never going to get anywhere. You may have heard of Babe Ruth. Anyone heard of Babe Ruth? He was a legendary baseball player in the US. And he was a great batsman. And when he set the record in his day for the number of home runs in a single baseball season, he also led the league in strikeouts. He was going for the greatness. He was trying as hard, he was swinging as hard as he could. And that led to a high degree of failure. And quite often those stars who have great successes will also have colossal failures because they are always trying to push to the edge, push to the limit. Thomas Edison, the guy who invented the light bulb, he tried 5,000 different materials to try to form the filament that would conduct light in a lasting way. He has 5,000 failures till he came across the right filament that his light bulb would light up and stay lit for a good period of time. Without those repeated failures, without those constant efforts, we would never have these light bulbs. But because failure is a pathway to success, that failure teaches us and can change us. Don't just see failure as worthless and horrible and something to weigh yourself down with guilt and shame. Failure is a stepping stone to where you want to get to. If you take failure and say, what can I learn from this failure? What do I need to change so my failure is no longer failure but becomes success? We can actually grow and change as people and move into a better stage of life. And as I was looking about on 2017, some of us had success in 2017. Some of us had failure in 2017. Some of us had a mixture of both, I imagine. But for some of us, maybe when you look back on the year, you'll say 2017 was a wasted year. Sometimes we're caught in inaction. For whatever reason, we can just freeze our life. We kind of get stuck in a rut and we don't make any movement. Sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I feel like I am not able to make progress and I've wasted a year because I'm at the same point I was when the year started. There were things I might have wanted to achieve or could have achieved, but I haven't. And there's various reasons for inaction in our lives. Is sometimes we get stuck for particular reasons. Maybe you feel stuck by the situation around you. Maybe you are overcome by fear or anxiety. Maybe you're stuck in a bit of analysis paralysis. There's so many options you don't know which way to go. Maybe you're just lazy. Maybe you're a bit stubborn and stuck in your ways. But for whatever reason, some of us will find that we're stuck in our lives. We've reached a point in our lives where we know that we need to take a different action for things to be different in the future. That if we want to become the people that we feel that we are called to be, or take advantage of the opportunities that we may have, then we need to make a change. But for whatever reason, whether it be fear or anxiety or overwhelmness or a lack of resources or just laziness or just whatever it may be, we're just stuck in the spot. And maybe that feels stink. Or maybe that feels safe. But for whatever reason, your last year may have been a year of inaction, where you've just kind of held on by your tooth and nails, because this is a place where I'm at, and I'm not ready to go forward, and I can't go back. So we're stuck. So as you look back on the past year of success or failure or of being stuck, what does that tell us about the future? What can we do with that? How can we equip ourselves to move on into a new year, into new opportunities in a powerful way? Well, I think there's some principles that we can grasp and maybe think about that will help us to move forward into 2018 and move forward into tomorrow and the next tomorrow. The first one that I want to encourage you with is to keep going. Regardless of whether you've had success last year, regardless of if you had failure this year, regardless of you just feel like you're stuck in a rut, you need to keep going. Tomorrow will come. You need to get up and push on forward. Jeremiah 8 says this. This is what the Lord says. You know, if a man falls down, he gets up again. If a man goes the wrong way, he turns around and comes back. That is the nature of life. We need to get up off the ground and keep going. If you have walked down a wrong path and you've come to an end and it's not a good one, one you feel you should be in, turn around and come back. We are not defined by what we've done. If we have fallen over, if you've gone the wrong way, we're not stuck there. We can get up, we can turn around, and we can make a new path forward. In the New Testament in Philippians 3, Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have attained this. I've not reached the end point of my life. Instead, I am single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out for the things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I strive towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are called to keep on moving forward, to keep on striving for the prize of being closer to who Jesus wants us to be. Putting everything behind us, casting off all that weight, we strive forward to be closer to God, to be closer to who God wants us to be. So as we think about tomorrow, as we think about the new year, as we think about our lives in general, keep on going, keep on pushing. God is calling us forward, not back. He's calling us forward, not to be still. He wants us to look ahead, to look at what he has for us, and for us to keep moving into that. And the great thing about that is that God is already there. God knows where he wants us to be. In Deuteronomy, this verse is really cool. The Lord is the one who is going ahead of you. He will be with you. He won't abandon you or leave you. So don't be afraid or terrified. I think that's a really cool idea. The Lord is the one who is going ahead of you. Back in Exodus, when they were coming out of Egypt, we had the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. God was going ahead of his people. And in that sense, God is going ahead of us. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where he wants us to be. And if we take the brave step to go forward in life, to press on, to seek the prize, to chase the goal, God is already there for us. He is already there waiting for us at the finish line with the victor's wreath. He is waiting for us to step into that space. God has gone before us. He is forging a path for us. And if we are obedient to his will and willing to walk with him, we'll reach that place. And as we do that, as we take that brave step to get up off the ground or to turn around and press on towards the goal, we can do that knowing that God is with us and for us. I read Jeremiah 29 because these words are special. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. We can go with God. As we go on this journey, whether it be an easy journey or a hard journey, an overwhelming journey or a scary journey, we go with God. We can talk to him, we can call out to him, and he will hear us. We can seek him, and he will find us. He can ask, and he will give to us. As we go on this journey, pushing forward into each new day, we do it knowing we are doing it with our Heavenly Father. That it's because we are with them, and he knows where we are going, we will find a place to go. We may not know where that next step is. We may not know what that next pathway is. But God has already gone there. And if we can talk to him like a friend, as a father, he will lead us and guide us and walk with us to that place. He's before us and he is with us. And I think it's a really cool thing. So as we look to the future, as we have the courage and determination to get up and turn around and walk forward, as we go to where God has calling us to be and where he already is, and as we walk with God in doing that, I just want to remind you guys that you can do it. God has enabled you and will enable you and will always enable you with his power. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "The Spirit God gave us does not make us afraid. His Spirit is a source of power and of love and of self-control." And as we think about that, of the power that God has given us, the Spirit that God has given us of power and of love and of self-control, isn't that encouraging to think that tomorrow, as I get out of bed and face a new day and have to make choices for my life that will lead me forward in God's will, that you're not doing it in your own strength. You're not doing it with your own ability. You're not doing it the same way you have every other day. But you can do it in the Spirit of power, and a Spirit of love, and a Spirit of self-control that God has given that within you, that if you are talking with him and walking with him and connected with him, that that power and love and control that you have within yourself will flow out and will enable you to walk in the path that he's calling you to. The past, the present, the future, it's all God's. And God is in control of it all. And God knows where it's come from. He knows how it is. He knows where it will be. And as you and me and all of us try to find our place in this world, as we try to come to terms with our yesterdays, as we endure our todays and we look forward to the tomorrows with uncertainty, with excitement, with doubt, let us embrace this truth that we have for us, that God has called us to keep going. That God is waiting there for us to say, "Well done, good and grateful servant." He's willing to walk with us on that journey as our friend and father. And that he has given us all the strength, all the power, all the love, all the control that we need to walk in his will and to experience his blessing today and all the tomorrows. Let me pray. Almighty God, I ask that as we've considered these truths, as we've acknowledged you as the Lord and our friend and our Father and our guide, I just ask that we would just soak it in, Lord. I pray that these truths that you've given us in your word would sink into our hearts and minds, Lord. I pray that as we wake up for every new tomorrow, that you would be real in our lives, Lord, that we would seek you first, that we would throw off every encumbrance and seek to be the best children of God that we can be through your love and your grace and your power. May we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.